Again. Good morning. It's good to be here. Thank you for the invite. The saints at Grace Gospel Chapel say hello. As I say to them, I'll say to you, the seats up here are free. If you want to just come. Every time I say that, nobody comes forward. That's okay. It's a blessing to be here, and I'm hoping that the Lord will encourage our hearts together. So what I want to do today is share a few thoughts with you. I was invited to minister in Greenwood Hills not too long ago, and the topic was all of the one another's in Scripture, the one another's, and how important that is for us as local assemblies, as individuals, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. It really gives us opportunity to serve. When we think about that, serving and serving His body, serving one another, there's so many places in the Bible that talks about that. And what that does for us is it gives us more purpose. It gives us more meaning to open our hearts to serve the Lord. Opportunities to make Him known in our own lives and in the lives of one another in this assembly and others outside the assembly. So I wanted to read a few of these with you, and Lord willing, maybe there's a few that we can get to today. There's one in John 13 that we're going to look at called wash one another's feet, right? One another's feet. What does that mean? John 13, 34 says, love one another. Romans 12, 10 says, be devoted to one another. Again in Romans 12 says, live in harmony with one another. Romans 15, welcome or receive one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, have the same care for one another. In the book of Galatians and Ephesians, there's a few. There's 5:13, Lord willing, we'll look at that today. It says, serve one another. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. How important that is. Ephesians 4 says, be kind to one another. Ephesians 4, again, in one verse, there's two of them. Forgive one another. Ephesians 5, speak to one another in psalms and hymns. Ephesians 5, again, submit to one another. And in Thessalonians, it says, encourage one another. Build one another up or encourage one another. In the book of Hebrews, it says, consider one another to love. Again in Hebrews, let brotherly love continue. Show hospitality to one another in 1 Peter. And the last in this list, at least, is James 5. Confess your sins to one another. Isn't that interesting? As you go through these things, how many are out there, right? How many are there for us? The mandate for us as believers is not to only think of ourselves, right? It's to be able to minister and to think of others. There's a problem with that, however. Naturally, we are selfish people, and we think of ourselves before we think of others. And it is a challenge. Life is busy, a lot's going on. I have my own problems, my own things going on in my life, and sometimes we forget about my brother, my sister, my neighbors. And yet this is exactly the call of a believer. It's exactly what the Lord wants of us, is to be others-centered. And this has been a conviction in my own life. Here in the book of Philippians, let's turn there for a minute, just for us to take a look at before we begin the first one another, which is wash one another's feet. But in Philippians chapter 2, if you go there with me, please, we find this truth in here. And this encouragement for us. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 3. If you're with me, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you, see how specific that is, right? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we're going to look throughout all of these one another's. We may get to two, maybe three today. That it is Christ who is our example. It is He sets the standard of how we are to behave and how we are to live and how we are to serve in this capacity. Now, again, in Philippians, if we read more, we get to see how the Lord humbled Himself and then how He was exalted. And that is our example, right? That He thought of others. He thought of us. Amen? He thought of us. And He gave His life for us. And here, He's the encouragement to the Philippians. Paul is saying, listen, have this mind. It is something that, as I grow older in the Lord, it is something that I need to do intentionally. It is something I need to do proactively. It is something I need to do daily as I wake up in the morning to say, Lord, humble me, strengthen me, help me to glorify You and think of others. Because naturally, I don't, right? My day, my schedule, my job, my family, what am I doing? You know, these things. Not that that isn't important. But if we get the essence of who we are in Christ and what we're going to see in some of these scriptures and the context in which they were written, we see that the Lord left us with the Holy Spirit to minister to one another and how intentional that should be for our lives. All right, let's look at the first one. Go to the book of John chapter 13 with me, please. John chapter 13. We'll look at the verse and then we'll look at the context. It's been some time maybe for you to look at this chapter, and it's always a blessing to look at it because it's such an example of humility. It's such an example of the Lord in our lives and what He's done. So in verse 14 of chapter 13, if you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, 14 says this. If I then, your Lord and teacher or Lord and master, have washed your feet, you ought also, and here's our term, to wash one another's feet. So this is the one another. The Lord is saying, if I've done this to you, you ought also to wash one another's feet. So what's the context, right? So if you look at this and say, oh, I'm supposed to wash my brother's feet physically, and that's exactly not what this is talking about. There's a lot of symbolism in this chapter. But what's interesting is we get a couple of things. We learn about humility, the need for holiness, and then application. So Christ sets the example of what being humble means. Then He understands implores us to have purity, and then He wants us to do likewise. So chapter 13, just a couple of verses. Take a look with me at verse 2. 13:2 says, after supper ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, now notice the knowing in this. How many knows or knowings are in this verse? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that they had come from God and was going to God, He rose from supper. He rose from supper, and what did He do? He laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, verse 5, He poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Simon Peter notices this. When He came to Him, says, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus says, what I am doing to you now, you do not understand, but you will know after this. So that's interesting, right? What I'm doing to you now, well, I'm washing your feet, but that's not really what I'm doing. You're going to know after, He says. Verse 8 says, Peter said, Lord, You shall never, ever wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with Me. We're going to look at that and the meaning there. Simon says, all right, Lord, then not my feet only, my hands and my head. And there's a teaching in verse 10 that talks about, you know, justification and then practical sanctification. But here He says, he who is bathed, past tense, he who is bathed, needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And that's talking about our position in Christ. He who is clean, saved, forgiven, set free, and justified They only need to wash their feet daily. It's a continual washing. And you are clean. There again, he makes that statement. You are clean, but not all of you, because Judas was there. Verse 11, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Verse 12, and he washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down and said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, right? Here's the challenge for us. If you know these things, blessed are you, happy are you, if you do them, right? So the Lord can teach us a lot of things, but if we don't apply them, then there's no benefit, not only to my own heart, but to my brothers and sisters. Luke chapter 22 gives us a little more context of what's happening here during this supper, this Lord's Supper. As we all know, just to remind my heart, John 13 to John 17 is the beginning of the upper room ministry. He's no longer talking in public. He's not talking to his own. He's talking to his disciples. And him knowing where he's going, him knowing who he is, starts to unfold to his disciples necessary things that they must know and apply, because he's going. He's leaving them. This time, 13 to 17, these chapters talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about he's leaving them. He's talking about where he's going and they can't come. And there's confusion. What do you mean you're going away? What are you talking about? And there's heartache and there's anxiety and there's a lot going on with the disciples here. And so what the Lord starts to tell them is he wants to start to help them understand that you have to behave a certain way now, because when I go, that's when the challenge comes for you to live like me, serve like me, love like me. And so he's trying to set the tone for them. So the first thing he wants to help them understand is humility. Be humble. Because when we're humble, we become grateful. Amen? When we think that we have it all together, or I'm okay and everything is fine and I'm trying to live this life on my own, that's when we fall, right? Take heed lest you stand. I messed that verse up, but you know which one I'm talking about, right? Right? Take heed. Understand that everything we have is from the Lord. So when I'm humble and I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I bow, I now can be used by him. And so this example of humility, we find in Luke 22, they were fighting among themselves at this supper. They didn't think about to hire someone, a slave person whose job it was to wash the feet of the disciples when they came in. Because, as you know, in Galilee and Capernaum and Jerusalem, they wore open sandals and they were walking around. And so although they may be ceremonial washing, their feet needed to be washed because of the dust that they got from the world, if you will. They come here, and when the Lord's Supper, or when they ate, they sat down. They were leaning and their legs were out. Maybe their feet were next to each other when they were leaning around the table. So the Lord quietly doesn't say anything. He bows and he starts to wash his feet, but he does that with a certain understanding. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and that he was going to God, then he starts to do this act. You would think, right, that knowing where he's going, knowing who he is and why he came, it's almost like I need to be serviced. I need to have my feet washed. I'm going to be, and I am, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's not what he did. Quietly, they're talking among themselves, maybe again arguing about who's the greatest. And so the Lord was occupied, even though in his high position, humbled himself. He was occupied with serving. Knowing that the Father had given all things, he served. If he was occupied with serving, the disciples were occupied with themselves. The Lord Jesus did what a servant was supposed to do. What the disciples were supposed to do to him. He bowed down as a servant and washed their feet. So in light of all this, Peter says, Lord, you're washing my feet? You, the Lord of all, are washing my feet? You're never going to wash my feet, right? This attitude that he had, probably with conviction that he should have done it. And the Lord says to him, Peter, relax. What I'm doing, you don't understand now, but you will understand. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Now we can apply, I love this verse. We can apply this in different ways. You will have no part with me. So Peter's like, well, wait, I'm a disciple. I know you're the Messiah. I said it. He confessed it. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. So I have no part. I have no part with you. I'm not going to be part of your kingdom. I'm not going to serve with you. What are you talking about? Then go ahead. Not just my feet. Wash me all over, he says. Wash me all over. And then the pointed teaching, what the Lord is saying here, and the truth for us as believers is when we're saved and we know the Lord Jesus and we receive him in our hearts, that repentance, confession, and asking him to come into our lives is a one-time act. Amen? It's one time. His death on the cross was enough, amen, to save us for all eternity. Past, present, and future, our sins, we have been positionally justified in his sight. We're in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. We're in him, amen? We're in him, so there's nothing we can do. We serve him because we love him. We don't serve him to earn a position or to earn his favor. No, we serve him because we love him. I've been set free, amen? I can now live for him and serve him. So the teaching here is once you're washed and cleansed, that's a one-time act, very similar to the Old Testament priests, if you recall. There's a lot of application here you can go. That Aaron and his sons were consecrated one time, but then as they served in the tabernacle, they had to wash in the laver before they ministered. So very similar. Once consecration and daily cleansing in the laver for service. Here, the Lord Jesus is saying the same thing. He said, listen, no. Verse 10. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. You're bathed. Praise God. We're bathed. We're saved, right? But there is a cleansing that we need as we interact with the world. As we interact with the world and we hear the world's philosophies and we hear the world's principles and the TV and the radio and all of these things are ungodly. And when we live in that in our work or in our school and we're out there, we get defiled. And so what the Lord is trying to tell the disciples is this is going to happen to you. From a spiritual standpoint, this is going to happen to you. And you're going to need one another. And I'm doing this to you to help you understand that this cleansing is necessary for service. So he's saying here, verse 12, when he washed their feet and taken their garments, he sat down and he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? And of course, here, what I've done, I've washed your feet. But no, it's deeper. It's not physical. It's deeper. He says, although I am your Lord and teacher, I have washed your feet. You ought also to wash one another's feet. So again, there's a lesson in humility. If I'm your Lord and teacher and I'm doing this to you, you should do the same, right? You need to humble yourself and do this to your brother and to your sister. This word ought in verse 14, you ought also to wash one another's feet means to owe. I owe something. Or it means to be in debt for, or to be under obligation. Do you know that you are under obligation for your brother and sister? Yeah, we are. Cain and Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain said. What's the answer? Absolutely. We are our brother's keeper. And so what the Lord wants us to do and understand in this context He says, you ought also, you are under obligation to be able to wash one another's feet. Because there are times that we don't know that our feet are dirty. Peter says, no, Lord, not my feet. There are times when a brother or a sister may come to us and want to encourage us in the Lord and the things of the Lord, and we don't open up as much as we should. This should be a safe place. This should be a safe place. The chapel is a safe place for you as you talk among yourselves to really bear your heart and your soul about what's going on in your lives. That's going to give your brother and sister an opportunity to take the water of the Word of God and minister to you. And may I pray in your heart and mind that we don't say like Peter, no, don't wash my feet. Right? We have to be gentle. We got to use a warm, soft towel to wash our brother's feet, right? We're not supposed to use sandpaper to wash our brother's feet, right? Sometimes we got to be careful with how we speak to one another and care for one another. So if the Lord has led you to minister to your brother and sister and see something in their lives that perhaps something's off, they look down, they're not as happy or content as they are, God encourages you and me to wash each other's feet, to encourage one another, right? So it says, you call me teacher and Lord. So there's a certain humility that we need to have in this. He says, I've given you as an example that you should do as I have done to you. So the application, right, is we are to humble ourselves like him. We need to seek the best for our brothers and sisters, encouraging holiness. What did he say? If I wash you not, you have no part with me. Not necessarily only part with me in my ministry, but in my presence, fellowship. When you think of the application that when we want to be in the Lord's presence, there should be a sense of holiness in our lives. Not only am I to be right with men horizontally, but I am to be right with God vertically. And that's really the first thing. If I'm right with the Lord, then he helps me to be right with others. So you'll have no part with me is also an application that for us to serve the Lord, we should know and search our hearts that our feet are clean. That when we step into these doors and we come to worship and praise the Lord, that we've made our peace with the Lord, that we've confessed our sins, that I'm living right, that I've confessed my sins to my brothers and sisters, that there's no animosity or hatred towards one another. I mean, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about love one another and forgive one another. That's in there. Why does the Lord, through Paul, write in Ephesians that we are to love one another, forgive one another? Because there are times where we don't. We've been offended and offended very difficult, whether it's in marriage or out of marriage or a brother or sister or family. But the Lord has saved us to be different. He saved us to be a light and a testimony among ourselves so that we can then be a testimony to the world. Amen? Right? He says, they'll know that you're my disciples here in John 13 by the love that you have for one another. So when they see true love in the assembly, and how we welcome people, and even among ourselves, that's a testimony to the world. In families, there are issues, there are things that go on, but the Lord wants reconciliation and he wants forgiveness. So let me show you just a couple of practical things real quick here. So what did the Lord use to wash the disciples' feet? He used water, right? So let's go to Ephesians 5 for a second. Actually, before we go there, go to John 17. Go to John 17 in his prayer, his priestly prayer. All right, you're there, say amen. John 17 says, verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Now watch this. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen, right? So the word of God has a sanctifying effect. So the application is the water cleaning the disciples' feet. The symbolism is using spiritual water, which is scripture, to wash each other's feet, to bring light to our darkness, to bring encouragement, to help us get our lives in order so that we can be more in service to the Lord. Now we can go to Ephesians chapter 5. This is an application. Again, these verses we well know. I just want to encourage you, to remind you about the effectiveness of this water that we find here. Ephesians 5, we're going to look at verse 19. No, not that one. It's in verse 25 about husbands and wives. All right, Ephesians 5, you're there? Amen? Yeah. All right. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And here's another word of sanctification. It says that he might, the husband, sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, a clean wife, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy, again, holiness, and without blemish. So husband ought to love their wives as their own bodies. So here, the example again is Christ to the church, right? What does Christ do to us? He cleanses us, right? Every time we read the word of God, it's a cleansing effect. It takes the world out, it takes our sins out, it convicts us, and it helps us to live right. So in this sense, he says in 26, that the husband should do to the wife what Christ does to the church. And what does Christ do to the church? He sanctifies us with the washing of the water by the word of God. So the word of God is a cleansing agent. So let's turn real quick to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right. If you're there with me, amen. All right. Verse 16. Again, well-known verses. All scripture. Now this is the word. This is the water. This is what you and I are to use to help your brother, your sister, even my own life, to be pure and clean so that we can have part with him and have fellowship with him and help my brother and sister be clean. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen, right? It's profitable. The word of God profits. It's profit for doctrine, so we can help our brothers and sisters, to teach them the precepts and principles about the word of God. Look at this one. It's there for reproof. I can use the water of the word to reprove, rebuke gently in love my brother, my sister, but also my own heart. So it helps them and me see the error of my way, right? But it's not my opinion. It's the word of God. By bringing scripture, you can encourage your brother and sister toward holiness. So not only reproof, but also how to get right, how to make it right. It says correction, to change our lives, turn it around, and then instruction in righteousness, how to maintain it and how to live right. Why? So that the man and woman of God may be complete. That's the goal. Brothers and sisters, we are each other's keeper. We can help each other become complete. The word there is mature. Mature in the Lord. I can help my brother and sister become more mature in Christ by, first of all, applying the word of God to my heart and my life, and then applying it to my brother and to my sister. That we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There it is. To serve the Lord. To be equipped to serve Christ. And so these one another's, it is something that we are to ask the Lord for. All right, we have a few more minutes to have a couple, maybe one more. So that was wash one another's feet. You and I have the ability to encourage and to be humble and to serve the Lord in a way with the word of God to encourage one another. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 for a moment. Galatians chapter 6. All right, I need to get there. Here we go. Galatians chapter 6, if you're with me, amen? Verse 1 and 2 says, brothers, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens. There's the one another again. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love. The law of Christ is living like him. He fulfilled the law of the Old Testament, so that we can be free to serve his law of love. And the law of love is others-centered. So here's a situation that a brother and or sister may find themselves in, right? The word overtaken or caught seems to be that the brother or sister may not have had sinned in a premeditated fashion. I'm going to go do this today. I'm going to sin. I'm going to go do this. But it could have been that they were in an environment, perhaps, they should have not been in, or something that may have just overtaken them. Sometimes these phones today, unfortunately, they are a temptation. And you can go to one site to do one thing, and if you don't have protection, if you don't have accountability, pop-ups will come up, and next thing you know, you're seeing something else. And for men, it's very difficult, and also for women, for different things. There's enough of these things in the world that we can fall. Amen? We got to be careful. And so in this situation, here's a person who was overtaken in a trespass. And it says, us, who are spiritual, are you walking with the Lord? Are you filled with the Spirit? Is your intent to be a holy and live a righteous life? I do. Every day I say, Lord, help me. Help me to live for you today. And if I'm walking with the Lord, if I'm in fellowship with him, and I'm asking him to help me to be sensitive to the people around me, remember, it's an intentional thing. We can't just do, I just can't live my life. Sunday morning, I go to church, I go to chapel, I go to Lord's Supper, okay, I'm here, boom, I got dinner, and I got to go to lunch, and I got work tomorrow. So it's a schedule. Instead of, Lord, how can I serve your people today? When I go to the chapel, help me to speak to someone. Help me to be open to your Spirit so that I can come alongside someone to encourage them. This is how we grow internally. Ephesians 4 talks about the gifts that we are equipped for the ministry, for the work of ministry. And so use the gifts God has given you, mercy, helps, administration, encouragement, teaching, all of these gifts that God has given us to help one another. And so here, this person, you who are spiritual, you who've noticed this brother, this sister who's off, who's not coming, they need a phone call, something happened, you see them next to a place that they shouldn't be, right? These things, you start to see these patterns, you're being aware of your brother and your sister. You who are spiritual, in gentleness, it says, right, considering yourself, because you know what? We also can fall. We also can falter. We also can be tempted to go in those areas. So we go to this brother not saying, hey, I'm better than you, but hey, that could be me too. So I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to go alongside. I'm going to help wash my brother's feet, but hold this person accountable and help them and strengthen them. So it says, in gentleness, go to this brother and sister, lest also you be tempted. But then the verse 2 says, bear. By doing this, you're bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That word bear there means to take up in order to carry. To take up in order to carry. It means to put on oneself something to be carried. There are burdens. There are weights. And that's what that is. What is a burden? A burden is a weight. A burden is a trouble. It's a heaviness. It may be oppressive. It is a load too heavy to carry. There are brothers and sisters in this assembly, I would doubt, no doubt, that they're carrying things too heavy for themselves. There are things that are difficult in our lives that we have experienced. Even as believers, there are things that we experience. Children, heartaches, family, work, financial needs, whatever it is. we are also susceptible to these things. And yet, it says in Scripture, what is it, what? Two is better than one, or, right? Two is better than one. Three is a better cord, where it talks about how the needs for one another and how we need one another. And so this, to bear up someone's weight or heaviness means taking it off of them and kind of sharing it and taking it upon yourself. But in order to do that, we must be humble. We must be vulnerable. We must be ready to open up and to share what's actually going on. Many of us live in isolation with our pain. We do not communicate well, and sometimes we're afraid to open up about our inner struggles. I have them. I praise the Lord for my wife, because I have inner struggles. I have temptations, and we need accountability with my brother and my sister. We need that. And so David says this in Psalms 25. I know we have 3 minutes left, and we're going to close. David says this. And he's crying as he prays this in Psalm 25. He says, "Turn yourself to me. Have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses." You ever been there? I have. David had them, and sometimes we have them. We have this weight and this burden and struggle. And this should be the place for us to be able to open up and to share those things. That's how we get healing. That's how we get help and encouragement. And that's how we get stronger as a body of Christ, when we are vulnerable and open ourselves. It's the Lord's so good to us. And yet we isolate ourselves and we hide and we don't seek help. And I know it's hard. Proverbs 18:1 says this: "A man or a woman who isolates him or herself seeks their own desire. They rage against all wise judgment." And that's the enemy. The enemy wants us to be separate. The enemy wants us to be isolated when we go through trials. He wants us to get away from the warmness of the fellowship. And when we get away from the fellowship, we get cold and we lose heart and we lose faith and we lose hope. Proverbs 19 says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction." That's bearing each other's burden, that you may be wise in your latter days. That's being open to these things. And like I said, many of us carry different burdens. May the Lord help us. Here's a few scriptures to encourage us about what happens when we help our brother and our sister. When we bear those burdens, when we take them on, this is what happens. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." Isn't that great? That the Lord wants us to have that word ready for those who are weary. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Isn't that interesting? "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." What a great verse. To please his neighbor unto edification. Now again, that takes proactiveness. That takes intentionality. I think that's a word. To be intent. To come with purpose and say, "Lord, how can I encourage my brother and sister today?" And if we all come with that attitude, we're all blessed. Amen? We're all blessed. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Isn't that great? Great, great verses. And these are just two of the one another's. We looked at wash one another's feet, and we looked at bear one another's burdens. And there's so many more. May the Lord help us maybe perhaps to keep looking at these going forward. But may the Lord encourage our hearts. I pray that it was something and a stimulation to you and myself about, you know, in the context of these one another's, you get a sense that the Lord understood that he was going away and he wanted his disciples to understand that their need for one another. In John 13, toward the end, he says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So that, again, the example. How did he love them? Sacrificially, humbly. He served them. So if that's what he did for them, we are to do that for one another, right? Wash each other's feet, bear each other's burdens. Maybe an encouragement. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for this assembly and their faithfulness over the years. Continue to help them to grow in their walk with you, to walk in their relationship with you. Because from that, from their own relationship, from their own humility and my own humility, may we all be grateful for our salvation and who we are in Christ. And then from that comes service and helping others, my brother and my sister, and eventually also the world. Help us, Lord, to take your example, encouragement about not looking out for our own interests, but looking out for the interests of others. The law of Christ is the law of love. Help us, strengthen us, encourage us. We give you thanks in your precious name. Amen.